And you're very welcome back to Lifeline now. I should be joined on the line by Yvonne. Good morning to Yvonne.
Good morning. How are you, Debbie?
I'm not too bad. Hope you're okay this morning. Yvonne, you're going to talk to us this morning about your own story, but you're looking for more funding into paediatric research in Ireland. Tell us a little bit about your own story.
Well, Alana was born a couple of weeks early, and on her routine 6-week checkup in the rotunda, they picked up a murmur, and then she was rushed to Crumlin Hospital with suspected heart failure. On examination, it was seen that Alana had a hole in her heart, but she also would need a PDA device. So it wasn't quite as serious as we first expected, but there was still work that needed to be done there. So they decided they wouldn't do anything until she was about 2. But we were in and out of Crumlin a lot just for checkups and stuff. So at 2.5, Alana had the PDA device put in. And then on just a routine checkup after her device was put in, her consultant noted that Alana had a large spleen, which then he sent us to a GI doctor in Crumlin. We were then told that Alana had liver disease. There was a blockage in her portal vein and there wasn't enough blood flow going into the liver. This then in return gives you other problems because Alana then started to get varices on her esophagus. So they are life-threatening if they bleed. So every 2 months we had to go into Crumlin for an overnight stay to get these varices banded. Alana had a very large bleed at home one morning. And we were rushed back into Crumlin. And it was decided that Alana would have to travel to the UK because the operation that they do, it's called a mesorex shunt. It's not performed in Ireland. Yeah. So we would have to go to King's College in London for this operation.
Now, Yvonne, I mean, this all started when Alana was 6 weeks old. Did nothing show up on the scans when you were pregnant at all?
It's funny because we were sent a couple of times to the top doctor in the rotunda. Because of my age, I was 42 when I was pregnant. They did want me to go to for amniocentesis and stuff, but we just felt we weren't going to take the risk, you know, whatever. We felt whatever was to be would be. And the consultants in the rotunda, you know, they did take a lot of time on the scans, and we kind of knew, we kind of felt there was something wrong, but they weren't picking anything up on the scan. And when she was born, we were there for 5 days and I had a section and was sent home. So they didn't, you know, seem to do any tests after she was born, even though we had been through a tough time during the pregnancy.
Because I know myself, I mentioned yesterday talking to her, I've gone through this myself with two of my daughters that were born with holes in the heart. But when the first girl was born, it wasn't picked up either since till she was 6 months. But the second one, she's a bit younger, they picked that up before we left the hospital. Well, she actually had 2 holes in her heart. But I thought now, like how old is Alana now?
Alana turned 8 there in July.
Yeah, so she's still very young. I thought by now, like, scans would have picked, you know, these 3D scans they have out now, and that would have probably picked it up. But
yeah, we didn't do a 3D scan now at the time. You know, it was just a normal scan.
Yeah.
They didn't, I don't know why, but we do, you know, it was just a normal scan at that time.
And it didn't show it up. So, I mean, to be told that at 6 weeks, she's so young, and, I mean, I know yourself, you must have been worried and, you know, what's going on. So that was, that was bad enough. And then to be told that she'd something else wrong, how did you cope with all this?
Myself and my husband, we have a very strong support network around us. So that kind of helped us through, you know. I think at the time, you know, we were told, well, with the spleen, she wouldn't be able to play sport and she wouldn't be able to do lots of different things that children of an age would do, you know. But we didn't see the bigger picture. I think sometimes when you're in it, you're looking at just trying to get her better. You're not kind of looking at the bigger picture of, you know, what this can hold. So really we took one step at a time. And they were brilliant in Crumlin. They didn't go ahead of themselves. You know, they mentioned to us about the Mesorex shunt in the UK, but it wasn't that, you know, they would see how Alana would progress. Yeah. So nothing was pushed on us or rushed on us. Everything was, and no one seemed to be panicking around us. And I think that kind of helped us to stay calm.
So apart from having this Mesorex shunt done, I mean, you probably have never heard of that. I've never heard of it.
No.
So as a parent, you know, these things you don't hear of and you wouldn't have a clue. You never expect to have to go through anything like this. Did she have to get any heart surgery done before this?
Well, she had the PDA device done.
Oh, she had that
sorted,
yeah.
So we were obviously still attending Crumlin with the heart, with the at the time she was seeing a chest doctor as well, plus the liver doctor. So we were in and out of Crumlin quite a lot. Plus, we found out that she actually has no hearing in one of her ears, which was picked up in school. So that was something else that we were dealing with as well, you know. But we kind of took one thing at a time. We didn't try and take everything on top of us.
Yeah.
Because you would never be able to get through it if, you know, you just inundated with the amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Then we, you know, at present we're with genetics in Crumlin. And what makes so, you know, if you can say it's so brilliant about Crumlin, you know, is that everything that we're attending is in the one place.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And, you know, they try to make appointments around other appointments. So you go maybe to two or three appointments in the day and not back and forth. And Alana missing a lot of school. So that, you know, makes it so great for us.
It's a great hospital. I mean, I've suspected a lot of time. It's
amazing.
An absolutely brilliant hospital. Quite an old hospital, and it's, as we know, it's going to be moving. But I think it's an absolutely great hospital, and the work they do there is great. But so Alana has spent most of her life really in Crumlin, coming back and forward in and out. And to see, I think the worst part is really when you have a child and they have to get sorted. You know, you want to take all the pain away. You want to go through all that, not your child to go through it. But I presume she went under a lot of anaesthetics as well when she was getting these operations done.
Yeah.
And that's, I find that one of the hardest things to look at.
Do you know, I suppose for us, we had great faith in the doctors and the staff from Crumlin. And, you know, when myself and my husband would bring her down to for the operation, we knew we were leaving Alana in the best hands possible.
Yeah.
And that made us, you know, come out and go, well, we know if anything, you know, everything will go fine because they are the best. So that what really kind of helped us get through the anaesthetics and the operations. And even when we were sent to King's in London, every day Crumlin were in touch with us, making how Alana's progress was going. And we never, you know, the only thing that divided us was the water. And that's, you know, that really kind of put us at ease as well, because it's traumatic being away from home in a strange place in a hospital, you know.
Yeah.
That is tough, and you don't have your family around you.
True. And it was quite a big operation as well. How is she today? Is she finished with the surgery, or is there still more surgery she has to go through?
Well, at the moment, hopefully, and we were finished, hopefully. But the thing about this shunt, they take a vein from the neck and they bypass the blockage. So it goes from the meso to the rex. Now, I'm no doctor, so I won't be trying to explain it.
Yeah.
But they bypass the blockage that goes, and it sends the blood flow into the liver. Now, there is lots of things that can happen that could narrow or stuff like that. But Lana is on medication probably for the rest of her life to keep that blood flow flowing through that shunt. She gets scanned every couple of months to make sure that everything is working and is as it should be. But we don't know, like, you know, as she grows, we really don't know.
And does she still have to go every 2 months to get the pharesis? Is it banded?
No,
because
once the blood flow is flowing into the liver, there's no backflow.
Okay.
So, but she is checked that there's nothing, you know, in the scans, everything is checked that the blood is flowing to the liver and not back up to the esophagus.
Esophagus. And her liver wasn't damaged from this or anything, was it?
Thankfully not, no.
Oh, that's great.
No.
Absolutely brilliant.
So she's, no, she, and, you know, to look at her, she's a very feisty young lady. She's 8 going on 18. Oh. But she, you know, her experience with Crumlin, you know, I kind of feel has made her into this tough cookie that she is today. And she's tough.
They're great. I have to say, we've done so many interviews with different organisations, and we have I've done an interview with a guy called Jimmy who's doing a lot of work for Crumlin for Avian's Pink Tie. I don't know whether you've heard of them.
Yeah.
And the building a house and that, especially for when you're in that situation, and nobody knows until you're in that situation yourself, and you're spending day in and day out in Crumlin Hospital. Now, I'm sure it's changed a lot since I've been there, like that's gone over about 15 years. And the sleeping arrangements for the parents was very, you know, very cramped. We were lucky to get a thing to sleep on the ground with your children. So he's building, they're building a house for parents, especially coming up from the country, that they can spend time with their children in there, because you don't want to leave your
kids. Fantastic. Yeah. Because we were so blessed when we were in the UK to have the Ronald McDonald House, where my husband could stay. And like that cut down costs for us.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I stayed with Alana. But like that too, it's just, you know, having that just somewhere to put your head down to get yourself fresh for the next day.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're heading into
exactly,
the next day.
And I know, and he was saying as well, Jimmy, you know, when your child is sick and your family, I said, you've great support in your family and that, but like bills still have to be paid. So, you know, you need to still work and funding and all that. So it's very hard on, not just on the child, it's hard on the whole family
as
well.
It was hard on us as a family. Like, I mean, when we were in the UK, my husband had to obviously, you know, we were over there for nearly 3 weeks. He had to, he was going to come back and go back to work. But then that meant I was on my own over there, you know. So, you know, we just bit the, you know, just said, well, look, just manage, and we had children back here that had to be looked after, and you know, as you say, the mortgage and bills still have to be paid, but you just do it, and
you find a way, and people are very good, and you know, doing fundraising.
The support network we had with my family and the community were absolutely amazing. You know, my son was playing with a Dublin under 17 hurling at the time, and they got together and did a puck father and a little fundraiser for us going over. And, you know, all these little things, as much as you're like, oh, no, we don't, you know, we don't want anything like that, the help that it gave us to be able to get through this without the worry of, you know, finance and everything else on top of you was just amazing. The community of Inglis and Dublin were just amazing to us.
I think we're really good here in Ireland for doing fundraising and helping out. It really is. I've done, as I said, so many interviews with organisations and fundraising, and people really do care, and it's great for families like yourselves and who like that. You want to spend as much time with your sick child, you know, and I remember when we were in there, we'd do a night shift and a day shift. Like, my husband would stay through the night and I'd stay through the day because I wasn't working at the time, which was great. I could spend the time there through the day, because you can't, you don't want to leave your child, you know, you have to be there for them. And as I said, Crumlin has been there years. I was in there myself when I was a child, and it's a great, great hospital, and it is going to be moving very soon. But I found there as well, I don't know whether you got in touch, when you were facing something like that, there's organisations there. I mean, when I had to go through the heart surgery, the Heart Children Ireland, I don't know whether you were in contact with them when Alana was going through, there was an organisation there called Heart Children Ireland, and people came over. They came into the hospital just to have a chat with you because they had gone through the same thing, so they know what you're going through. But it was great to have somebody else that you could talk to. So I think the support in Crumlin is great, and
it is
a great hospital. As I said, it's going to be moving quite soon now in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and that's
it's another story.
A big change for us because we're so used to going back and forth. Being a Northsider, like, Temple Street would have been our local hospital when the children were younger. So even like when Alana got sent to Crumlin, I didn't even know how to get there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was totally new to us. But oh my God, the staff are just amazing in it. You know, just it definitely made our journey an awful lot easier.
So you're looking for more funding into paediatric research. How are you going about this? You're just trying to do fundraising, or?
Well, I suppose just promote the fact that, yeah, you know, Wickram, and you know, they do need any, you know, anything that people can give. You know, I know there's so many organisations out there that are worthy of funding, but it's just, you know, there for my birthday in January, I just, you know, one of these donate things on Facebook,
yeah,
for my birthday, and if you click on it, it says donate to Crumlin Hospital. Like, chances are I wasn't even going to get a birthday card, but there, like, I raised €350.
Oh, very good.
By just clicking on a button on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's lots of things, like they do, like the crazy hair days in school and stuff, like nothing that's like off big, that you have to kind of go out of your way to do,
yeah,
you know, that you can just collect. You know, if everyone gives something small, it's big.
Yeah, and the more research we have, the more, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, the more research we have, and you know, the amount of new things that are cropping up with children, it's just like I'd never heard of, like, a Mesorex shunt for liver disease, or, you know, and even just trying to find information on this stuff,
yeah,
you know, is tough. But you know, just if everybody gives something small, as I said, it creates into a bigger amount.
And did you ever ask doctors how she got this? Was there any way hereditary or anything?
Well, where we're at now at the moment is we're attending genetics in Crumlin. Alana's got some blood tests done in February, and they've read her DNA and all this kind of thing, and it's not. They now are looking at myself and my husband. Mm. And we've gone for a blood test now, so they're going to read and see if there is something genetic. Now, it won't help Alana as such, but it'll help her for her children.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
And you mentioned you had, sorry, Van, other children. Have they been tested?
No, I have two boys, and they're fine. So they're old, and one's 26 and one is 19, and then Alana. So it just came out whatever in her, or maybe it's just, you know, that's the way she was just born.
Yeah. And how is she today? Is she able to do what other children do of her age?
Yeah, no, she's still obviously with the hearing, and that, she's fine when she wears her hearing aid. She's good. You know, she's good in school, and I would say she is on par with her peers in school. So there's no problems in her learning or anything like that. There's just, you know, I find she gets tired easily. You are watching her for bruising and kind of stuff like that. So you're always on high alert.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, on a normal day today, yeah, she's doing brilliant.
That's great. Well, listen, Yvonne, thanks for talking to us today. And what we want to get out there is just, as we said, Crumlin Hospital, I'm reading here now, established in 1965, so they've gone a long time. And it's the National Children's Research Centre. So they drive fundraising to allow for research into the cost, treatment, care and prevention of children's illnesses and disease, and to actively support excellence in the care and treatment of sick children by providing additional equipment, facilities and assistance to patients and the families within Crumlin. So if you want to find out any more about that, you can go on to www.cmrf.org. And as you said, as you're trying to get more money in to do research and find out more about these illnesses. But listen, thanks a million for talking to us today, Yvonne, and I hope Alana does keep well. And is she making a communion this year?
She is.
And next year?
That's going to be a day for Ireland.
That's brilliant.
Thanks a million.
Okay, Yvonne, thanks.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.